Du lytter til en podcast lavet af Third Ear for Podimo. Velkommen til Ingenmandsland, som er en podcastserie i 6 afsnit for Podimo, som vi har lavet i samarbejde med RTE Documentary on One i Irland. Og hvis du ikke har hørt de første 2 afsnit endnu, så skal du stoppe her og gå tilbage. Fordi det her er 3. afsnit.
You put yourself in my shoes, right?
Yeah.
You will kill a geezer, and years go by, and you do another few, right? And you're not captured. So what do you do? Think. What do you do then? Are you with me now?
If you captured Bang to Rights, you mean?
Bang to Rights, what do you do?
What you're telling us, then, it's been playing on your mind for some time. You then decide to come clean and tell us all the truth.
Yeah.
And that is right, is it?
That's right. And that's what I've done.
Who did he murder, or are you a spy? And just find a drink, helps me laugh, helps me cry. No, but just drink red biddy for the permanent high. I laugh a lot less, I cry till I die.
So right out of the blue, I just said to him, now tell me about all the other murders, Ian Kelly. And he said, which one are you talking about? And I said, well, you just tell me.
People picked up the story and they ran with it.
How are you, Kelly? Do you want a cup of tea?
And that's where Kelly pushed most of his victims underneath the trains when they got to the edge of the railway platform.
You can't live without love alone. The proof's round the west end and nobody's own.
Det er ved at være på tide at få skilt sandheden fra løgnen i historien om Kieran Kelly. For på det her tidspunkt i historien, der er der et problem. Lige nu er det svært at gennemskue, hvad der er rigtigt og hvad der er forkert. Hvem der fortæller sandheden og hvem der lyver. Sidste gang efterlod vi journalist Robert Mulhern i selskab med forfatteren til bogen The London Underground Serial Killer. Den tidligere politimand Jeff Platt. De har talt i flere timer nu, og Jeff Platt har i den grad talt sig varm.
I'll shut up at a minute's notice.
I'm not trying to bore you.
No.
What happened was, what actually happened about how Kelly came to be convicted? We were having trial after trial after trial after trial. We were there for months.
After Boyd?
I said no. We just went trial after trial.
This conversation has gone on a long, long time at this point. The thing that started to really, that I became very aware of the more this went on is that, you know, Jeff wasn't getting tired and it was like he was getting more energy as the interview went on, and he's sharing these war stories from his career, and I'm starting to look at my watch and I can see that we've been recording for nearly 4 hours at this point.
This guy turns up. He's taken 2 policemen hostage. He's got shotguns in their mouths. He's driving down the road, doing between 80 and 90 miles an hour. Turns up. And, he leveled the shotgun at me. So I took his head off. 25 meters.
So I'm trying to figure out a way of how I'm going to make my goodbyes or how I'm going to leave. And, you know, it strikes me that it's unusual that it's me who's looking for a way out of this interview at this point.
Der er meget, der tyder på, at Platt har for vane at komme med en hel del grandiøse påstande og overdrivelser. Men hvad med hele grundlaget for hans bog? Hvad med Platts version af historien om seriemorderen Kieran Kelly? Ja, lige nu er Rob ikke sikker på, at han overhovedet kan tro på noget som helst af det, Jeff Platt har fortalt ham. Efter en meget lang frokost er det ved at være på tide, at Rob kommer videre.
Of a couple of projects on the go, but I'll once I get a chance to do a bit more research, then I'll give you a shout again, and I'll spin up. We'll have another bit of lunch. And,
yeah.
But I mean, it's
not bad for 5, is it?
No, it's good. But no, it's great to talk to you, Jeff.
No, as I said, I tend to control myself and try and restrain myself from talking continuously. On the other hand, when somebody asks me to come and talk to them, then you feel that you're expected to speak a bit. So.
We'll keep in touch.
That's fine. Not a problem, sir.
Okay, Jeff.
You take care.
Yeah, okay. Cheers, Jeff.
Bye.
Toget hjem giver Rob tid til at tænke lidt nærmere over de ting, Jeff har fortalt ham.
So I'm sitting on the train back to London and I'm thinking about all these things that Jeff has just told me about that don't really make sense. Jeff claims to have run the whole case. But then, earlier in the interview, he said he was a trainee detective. I mean, how would a trainee detective run a case on this scale that involved a cover-up and multiple deaths? He said there was trial after trial after trial, and that Kelly kept getting found not guilty. But these were public trials, so how did that fit with a cover-up? Then there was this running total of murder victims. You know, starting at 12, then it went to 24, progressed steadily up to 31. But any time I asked Jeff, could he provide a list of names, he kind of dodged me or changed tack onto something else. But why couldn't he put this into an orderly list? The thing is, I know there's a thread of truth in Jeff Platt's story.
Så hvad er rent faktisk sandt i den her historie? Afsløringen i Jeff Platts bog var på forsiden af mange aviser i 2015. Hans historie stod som en sandhed i en lang række af, hvad man kunne kalde respekterede medier. Historien om Kieran Kelly, the London Underground serial killer. Historien om Indrigsministeriets mulige cover-up. Den historie blev dækket af BBC, The Huffington Post og i aviser over hele Storbritannien og Irland. Og som du måske husker, så startede det britiske politi ovenikøbet en undersøgelse som en direkte følge af den her mediedækning. De genåbnede sagen. Hvis nu alle Jeff Platts påstande er løgn, så vil det jo være nemt nok at afvise hele den her historie som et alvorligt tilfælde af fake news. Og så kunne vi sådan set stoppe historien lige her. Men det kan vi ikke. For vi ved, at noget af det, som Jeff Platt han fortæller, det er sandt. Vi har nemlig hørt båndet.
Tell us the truth about that one, and then we can clear the whole lot up.
And what do you want me to tell you?
Well, tell us the truth. Tell us the truth.
I'm telling you the truth.
You killed him.
Yeah.
Vi har hørt Kieran Kelly indrømme en lang række af mord på det bånd.
Just sit down and have a quick count up in your own mind about the ones you think you have killed, about the ones you think you might have killed. And how many you're sure you're killed.
Så hvordan kommer vi til bunds i det her? Jo, vi kunne jo prøve at forestille os, at det her var en retssag. Og at vi havde fået Jeff Platt ind som vidne. Vi kan prøve at høre hans vidnesbyrd, og så analysere det i detaljer. Og vi kan se på de påstande, han fremsætter, en efter en. Godt. Lad os starte med at se på Platts påstand om, at han fandt en lang række gamle avisartikler. Avisartikler, der alle sammen nævnte Kieran Patrick Kellys navn som vidne til, hvad der lignede selvmord i Londons undergrundsbane. Du kan nok huske den sidste episode, hvor Jeff Platt sagde, at han havde fundet de artikler i arkivet hos The South London Press.
Well, what happened was that I went down to the offices of the local newspaper, the South London Press in Streatham. I looked through all the old newspapers for 30 years and I found a number of incidents where people had fallen with tube trains. The interesting thing was that all of them had been talking to Kieran Kelly at the time.
So I called the South London Press.
Hello, good afternoon. South London Press. Hold the line, I'll just transfer you over.
You're sitting there with a wall of newspapers, you start flicking through them and you start finding that more and more deaths start coming to notice where Kieran Patrick Kelly has been standing there talking to people when they suddenly decide to launch themselves underneath the tube train.
But the South London Press told me they didn't have that kind of archive. There was no wall of papers like Jeff Platt described.
Det ser ud til, at der ikke findes noget arkiv på The South London Press. Måske kunne de have haft et arkiv tilbage i 1983, men det er der i hvert fald ingen derinde, der kan huske. Jeff Platt siger, at han blev ved med at falde over Kieran Kellys navn i de her avisartikler, og han blev interviewet som vidne til det ene selvmord efter det andet i undergrundsbanen. Men det er svært at forestille sig de praktiske omstændigheder omkring de her interviews. Det ville kræve, at Kelly, efter at have dræbt en eller anden ved at skubbe ham ud foran et tog, blev hængende på undergrundsstationen, og så ventede på, den lokale journalist skulle møde op for at skrive om det her, der lignede et selvmord. Og så har Kelly altså lavet sig interviewe af den her journalist i sit fulde navn. At det her skulle altså være sket igen og igen og igen. Det lyder usandsynligt. Og det har da heller ikke været muligt for os at finde en eneste af de her avisartikler, selvom vi har gjort, hvad vi kunne. Platt har heller ikke specifikt refereret til en eneste af de her nyhedsartikler i sin bog. Så vi har kun Jeff Platts ord for, at de nogensinde har eksisteret. Vi har også kun Jeff Platts ord for, at han konfronterede Kelly med det, han fandt i avisartiklerne. Det, der fik Kelly til at tilstå en helt ny række af mord, som han ikke tidligere havde tilstået. Alle de mord, han begik ved at skubbe tilfældig fremmede ud foran undergrundstog. Men lad os lade det ligge lidt og bevæge os videre til Jeff Platts påstand om, at han var den eneste efterforsker i den her sag. Selvom han kun var under oplæring til at blive politiefterforsker. Rob gør, hvad han kan for at finde så mange officielle dokumenter som overhovedet muligt omkring Kelly-sagen.
I'm just looking for court documents for Akira and Patrick Kelly.
Okay.
I wonder, could you point me in the right direction?
What sort of period would it be?
It's 75 to 85. So I get my hands on a whole bunch of court files. As I'm flicking over page after page, it strikes me that there's no sign of Jeff Platt's name anywhere, on any document. He's not even recorded as a witness.
Jeff Platts navn findes ikke på nogen af alle de her papirer, som Rob får fat i. Hverken i politirapporter eller i de dokumenter, som vi har fra retssagen mod Kelly. Men mens vi sidder her med retsdokumenterne foran os, så lad os lige se, hvad der rent faktisk skete, da Kieran Kelly kom for retten. Der står her, at Kieran Kelly var for retten ved The Central Criminal Court i London. Det er det, de kalder The Old Bailey. I 1984. Der er kun to mordsigtelser i den her sag. Den ene er Hector Fisher, dræbt på Clapham Common i 1975.
Fisher.
Det er ham, som Kelly ud af det blå tilstår at have myrdet, da han bliver afhørt om mordet på Boyd i politicellen. Der er ikke andre retssager registreret efter 1983 mod Kelly.
Would you tell me again how you did him?
I gave him a wallop. I'm not sure. But I cut his bollocks, but...
How many times did you stab him?
I don't know.
Selvom Platt siger, at Kelly blev ved med at blive frifundet i retten for det ene mord efter det andet.
Is that why you did, Boyd, to start clearing the books?
No, no. No way.
Why did you do him?
Huh?
Why did you do him?
Og så kommer vi til Platts påstand om indrigsministeriets cover-up af hele den her sag.
They decided that it was in the public interest not to broadcast the story. They felt that people who heard this story may start to panic. People wouldn't want to use the underground.
Platts liste af 31 mord er ikke nævnt noget som helst sted i de her journaler. Ligesom alle de retssager, hvor Kelly skulle være blevet frifundet for en hel masse mord, heller ikke er nævnt nogen steder. Det vil selvfølgelig give mening i forhold til Jeff Platts historie om et stort cover-up. Eller også er der en anden forklaring. En forklaring, vi måske kan komme til bunds i, hvis vi hører fra nogle andre, der har været involveret i den her sag. For i de her dokumenter er der noget andet interessant. Der er navne. Ikke Platts navn selvfølgelig, men andre navne. Navne på mennesker, der må have kendt Kieran Kelly og været i kontakt med ham, da han blev arresteret, og da han var i retten. John Slater er et af de navne. Der står her, at han var Kellys forsvarsadvokat.
Hi.
Hey John. How are you?
I'm okay, thanks.
Good.
John Slater arbejder stadig som forsvarsadvokat. Rob fandt ham på hans kontor.
You're younger than I expected. You must have been very young.
Og det viser sig, at selv efter så mange år, så husker John Slater stadigvæk tydeligt Kieran Kelly.
My main recollection is the incredible way in which I found him as a client. It would never happen nowadays. I was the duty solicitor at Southwestern Magistrates Court. And he suddenly got presented to me as a client, brought into the room. There was no security worth calling. I mean, the room was locked and I was there with him. And I said, what are you charged with? Oh, attempted murder.
Slater mødte Kelly, da han blev udpeget til at forsvare ham i en sag, der handlede om et morforsøg.
That was in 1982.
Morforsøg i 1982. Det var året før Kelly dræbte Boyd i cellen.
The case of the attempted murder at Tooting Beck tube station, where he was alleged to have pushed someone under a tube.
Kelly, der skubber en mand ud foran et tog på en undergrundsstation i London. Det lyder jo faktisk som den historie, Jeff Platt fortæller i sin bog. Så har Jeff Platt alligevel ret?
He was acquitted of that offense.
Jeg prøver lige at høre her, hvad Jeff Platt har at sige til Rob om den her Francis Taylor sag.
There was one murder that took place, the Francis murder that he was accused of. It was witnessed by a doctor, a lawyer and an accountant. Unfortunately, he got away with it despite three good professional witnesses all giving evidence that he'd done it.
And would Kelly's solicitor at the time, would they have, like, obviously he had a defense and people making a case on his behalf, did they just claim that this was a suicide?
Well, that's the interesting thing, isn't it? I mean, Kelly was represented by the same solicitor whilst 31 murders were alleged against him.
Det her er et godt eksempel på, hvad det er, Platt gør, og som gør det hele så svært at finde rundt i. Han overdriver. Han tager måske udgangspunkt i noget, der er sandt, men så overdriver han det til ukendelighed. Francis Taylor var et morforsøg. Francis Taylor døde ikke. Så lige meget hvordan du vender og drejer det, så er han ikke et moroffer. Så vi må i hvert fald strege ham af Platts liste af de 31 morsager. 31 morsager, som Platt siger, alle sammen blev ført af den samme advokat.
I'm just thinking, you know, imagine that you're the solicitor. You've defended this man against 31 allegations.
Forestil dig at være Kellys advokat, siger Platt. Ja, der er en mand, der ikke behøver at forestille sig det. John Slater.
It was an unusual case. I mean, you only get a case of this nature once in your professional career. I mean, I've had several murder cases, but I don't think I've ever before or since had a multiple murder case.
Slater repræsenterede ikke Kelly i 31 mordsager, som Platt påstår. Han repræsenterede ham i to.
Well, it was initially the matter of the murder in the Clapham police station, and subsequently he was also charged, of course, with the murder of Fisher on Clapham Common. Those were the two cases I represented him in.
Men Slater kendte Kelly godt. Han var en god klient. Fast arbejde, kan man vel kalde det.
I didn't actually dislike the bloke. I mean, he obviously was up to no good. But it's very much easier to deal with people who are hardened criminals, frankly, who don't really expect to go anywhere other than to prison.
Og hvad så med Jeff Platts bog? Hvad siger Slater til den?
And now Jeff Platt's version of events. Do you have an awareness of his book, or have you read the book, or?
Yes, I've read the book. I mean, I think it wasn't the most riveting of reads, I must say, and I don't think he had the detailed knowledge. I got the distinct impression that he had got a lot of it out of archives.
At the same time, that on its own doesn't mean that he's wrong.
No, of course it doesn't mean that he's wrong. What I do find surprising is that someone who I would describe as a bag carrier, who was not involved in a senior position within the inquiry, should take it upon themselves to write a book about it and try and carry the weight as if he was one of the principal characters in it.
And obviously the assertion that the Home Office tried to quell
details of these stories on the underground because they wanted to offset some kind of national panic.
I don't buy that.
John Slater har ikke meget til overs for Platts teori om et cover-up fra Indrigsministeriets side. Og ifølge John Slater var Jeff Platt mest af alt en stikirand-dreng, eller en taskebærer i Kelly-sagen. Men det skal selvfølgelig siges, at Slater ikke arbejdede for politiet i den her sag. Så han kan jo ikke vide, hvem der gjorde hvad på efterforskningsholdet. Men det er der en anden mand, der kan. Lederen af efterforskningen.
Detective Inspector Brown.
Politiinspektør Ian Brown. Det er et navn, der figurerer mange gange i retsdokumenterne. Og vi har også hørt fra Ian Brown før i første afsnit. Ian Brown er manden, der optog interviewbåndene med Kelly. Sammen med sin overordnede, chefpolitiinspektør Ray Adams.
Identify yourself, sir. Detective Chief Superintendent Adams in the presence of Detective Inspector Brown.
Og da Rob fandt frem til ham, spurgte han selvfølgelig også, hvordan Jeff Platt passede ind i Kelly-efterforskningen.
And just to clarify again, Ian, you were a lead investigator on the original case with Boyd in the station, and what was Jeff Platt's role as a Metropolitan Police officer through that period?
I don't remember Jeff Platt. He was a aide to CID, in other words, an apprentice detective. So he was a PC, a police constable, out of uniform, patrolling the streets and trying to learn his task. I understand that he never ever made detective.
Så Jeff Platt var altså aldrig politiinspektør i London Metropolitan Police. Han blev aldrig andet end almindelig betjent. Han kan altså ikke have ledt den efterforskning. Så hvis Jeff Platt var involveret i Kelly-sagen, hvad var så hans rolle?
Jeff Platt was employed to run Kelly from Brixton Prison to the Old Bailey or to all his court appearances. Now, I've no doubt that during that time, Jeff Platt talked to Kelly a lot. In actual fact, he did get a commendation on that case for his work in relation to Kelly after his arraignment.
Så det er altså rigtigt, at Jeff Platt, han kendte Kelly, og at han har tilbragt tid sammen med ham på turene frem og tilbage til retten. Og Jeff Platt modtog endda en særlig ros for det arbejde i Kelly-sagen. Men hvad med hans påstand om, at han havde været i lokalet, da Kelly tilstod den her række af mord på bånd?
You were in a room when two senior detectives interviewed him.
That's right, yes.
Yes. And he then confessed to what?
He confessed to 16 murders, including the one that he just committed in the cell.
There were maybe 10 interviews in all of Kelly. And Jeff Platt was never present in any one of them. He had absolutely no connection to the investigation, to the interviews, and there's things in the book that says he sat there with a tape recorder hidden so that Kelly didn't know it was there. That's one of the many claims that Jeff Platt has made, which are totally untrue.
Totalt usandt, siger Ian Brown. Og hvad med Platts bog? Har Ian Brown været involveret, da Platt skrev den? Har han interviewet ham? Har han talt med ham?
Did he speak to you prior to publication, or when's the last conversation you had with Jeff Platt?
I've never had a conversation with Jeff Platt. The crazy part is that I got a phone call saying, have you seen the headlines in the paper? And I saw this story of the London Underground killer, murderer, mass murderer. And I thought, that's strange. I thought I did that one. And then I found that so many things that just didn't add up about the claims, not only in relation to the Kelly murder, but the claims of what he did in the police force. His claims of his career are just fanciful. They are impossible for somebody to achieve in the time frame of his career.
Så hvis vi nu leger videre med ideen om, at det her er en retssag, og at Jeff Platt er i vidneskranken, så tror jeg godt, vi kan tillade os at sige, at hans vidnesbyrd er blevet forholdsvis grundigt undersøgt nu. Jeg tror, vi kan stoppe her.
Not much more I can say about it, really, other than that the claims of 30, 40, 50 murders is yet again a piece of Jeff Platt fantasy.
Spørgsmålet er så, hvor meget af hans bog, der består af det, Ian Brown kalder Jeff Platt-fantasier. Jeg tror godt, vi kan sige nu, at der ikke er noget cover-up fra Indrigsministeriet for at undgå panik i undergrundsbanen. Der er heller ikke 31 mordofre. Jeff Platt var ikke til stede under Kelly-interviewsene. Han havde ingen central rolle i efterforskningen, og han har opfundet mange historier omkring sin karriere i politiet. Vi kan altså fastslå, at Jeff Platt er et upålideligt vidne. Og det betyder også, at vi ikke kan tro på, at Kelly fortalte ham, at han var en undertrykt homoseksuel. At han dræbte sit første offer af frygt for at blive afsløret. Og at han derefter fortsatte med at dræbe, fordi han blev afhængig af suset ved at slå folk ihjel. Vi kan ikke bruge alt det til noget som helst. Og det kommer alt sammen kun fra Jeff Platt selv. Selv bogens titel er langt fra sandheden, The London Underground Serial Killer. Det ser ud til, at det kun var et enkelt af hans ofre, der døde i undergrundsbanen efter at være blevet skubbet ud foran et tog. Så undergrundsseriemorderen, det var han ikke. Men det er stadig takket være Jeff Platt, at vi overhovedet har hørt om Kieran Kelly. Og vi ved også, at Kelly faktisk tilstod en hel masse mord. Ian Brown siger det selv.
In the end, Kelly put his hands up to maybe 13, 14, 15 murders.
Det er tid til at lade Jeff Platt tale til sit eget forsvar. Så Rob aftaler et nyt møde.
There was always going to be that second meeting.
Hello, Jeff.
But I always wanted that second meeting to take place when I felt I'd, you know, a broader sense of the Kelly story and spoken to lots of other people.
Hiya, Jeff. Rob Mulhern here. How are you doing? Good, thanks, Jeff. I just wanted to...
Det er også her omkring Rob finder ud af, hvorfor Jeff var så svært at få fat på i første omgang. Det viser sig nemlig, at Jeff Platt har været i fængsel i 6 måneder. Dømt for farlig kørsel, hvor han mistede besindelsen i trafikken. Det er vel det, man på godt dansk kalder road rage.
He asked me if I wanted to come to Stoke to do a second interview. At that point, I didn't want to go to Stoke because I knew that I was going to challenge Jeff on very basic elements of the story, but my instinct at that point was that he may react badly to being challenged on it. I didn't want to be in his house in Stoke in a confined space, so I wanted to have some control over what way this conversation went down and how we handled it. So we can meet outside Clapham Common Station. We'll see you there tomorrow.
So Rob vil altså ikke mødes hjemme hos Platt. I stedet vælger han at mødes på Clapham Common. Den park i London, hvor det brutale mord på Hector Fisher fandt sted.
Jeff. Jeff. How are you? Not bad.
We walked down through this winding footpath towards the church where Hector Fisher had been murdered.
We walked down to the common.
Yes. And we got down to the church and, you know, we kind of got into it very, very quickly and I just introduced some areas where there was conflict in the story. So in the last couple of weeks, I've met with John Slater and Ian Brown and spoken to them kind of extensively about the case. And there's a lot of variance in what they have to say and what you have to say in respect of the Kelly case.
Okay.
And Ian Brown has copies of the recordings of the original Kelly interviews. But you weren't in the interview room in the station, according to Ian Brown. He said it was him and Ray Adams and that you weren't even in the station at that time. You came in later and got a commendation for your legwork, but all these individuals say you weren't present in the interview room.
I wasn't present during the main interview, I'll grant you that, yeah. Okay. Doesn't mean I don't know the facts. As I say, I spent more time than they did actually investigating the case and everything like that. So I spent time with Kelly. I spent time chasing up all the facts and everything like that.
Jeff is beginning to realise that this interview isn't going the same way as the first time around. It's like he knows something is off with the line of questioning.
And I was just going back through some of my notes, and you told me a number of times that you were the only person alive who knew Kelly.
I think so.
But obviously Ian Brown knew him, and obviously John Slater knew him personally. And they're both still alive.
His kind of feet start shifting uneasily underneath him, and he's fidgeting with his hand in his pocket and, you know, pulling the zipper on his coat.
People would get uncomfortable, Jeff, in terms of some of these points, that when you present a case of such magnitude and such importance, that I guess the public would expect the kind of rigor that has been absent there. They would expect extensive conversations with Brown and Adams.
Okay, well, I'm sorry, I just told you.
And then he leans down and picks up a bag. He turns with the bag and, like, starts heading away.
Jeff? Are we not having a conversation anymore, Jeff? Jeff?
Not in the direction of the train station first. It's almost like he doesn't know where he's walking.
Jeff, are those questions not fair?
He cuts across the grass at a common, and I mean, it's autumn, so all these leaves have fallen off the trees.
Jeff.
And he starts kind of walking through these leaves. He's not even on the footpath.
Jeff, can I just get two more minutes? Will you just hear me out, Jeff?
It's like I've really thrown him off road with these questions I've been asking him. And then he realises after about 50 steps that he's walking in the wrong direction, and he turns on his heels and heads back in the direction of Clapham Common Station.
We're finished. Why?
You know, I'm chasing after him, but...
Why, Jeff? Are they not fair questions?
It's like I'm not there.
Jeff, I'm going to ask you one more question now and then I'll leave you alone. But Jeff, obviously this sounds bad, so there's an opportunity to clarify it. This is going to sound bad on... This is going to reflect badly on yourself. That's the last thing I'll say. You have a position to chat to me still.
He won't even look to acknowledge where the questions are coming from. He just has tunnel vision. It's like all that's in his head is, I'm getting to this station. And when he gets there, he disappears down the steps and into the noise of the underground. And that was the last time I ever saw Jeff Platt.
Der er en underlig form for talleg igennem hele den her historie. Tallene går op, og de går ned. De varierer helt enormt, især når man tænker på, at det her er tal, der beskriver menneskeliv. Morofre. Vi kan kalde Jeff Platts 31 morofre for en overdrivelse, eller et eksempel på det, Ian Brown kalder Jeff Platt-fantasi. Men hvis du spørger mig, så var der aldrig nogen grund til at overdrive noget ved den her historie. Selvom der aldrig fandtes en London Underground serial killer, som Jeff Platt beskriver, så var Kelly en brutal morder. Han var en seriemorder. Ian Brown siger det selv. Kelly tilstod 13, 14, 15 mord. Det er tid til at komme tilbage til den virkelige historie om Kieran Patrick Kelly. For nogle gange er sandheden bare langt mere interessant end fiktionen. Næste gang. I ingenmandsland.
Ingenmandsland er produceret af 30 for Podimo i samarbejde med RTE Docon One i Irland. Den er skrevet af Tim Henman og Christa Molsen, og det er Christa, der fortæller historien. Idé og research var af Robert Mulhern, Ronan Kelly og Liam O'Brien, med produktionassistancer fra Sarah Blake, Donald O'Herlihy, Tim Desmond, Nicolina Greer og Michael Lawless. Originalmusik til serien er lavet af mig. Du hørte også sang Missing You fra den irske sanger Christy Moore. Ingenmandsland er distribueret eksklusivt i Danmark af Podimo, og tak til teamet på Podimo, fordi de gør det her muligt. Og til sidst, husk nu, at hvis du kan lide, hvad du har hørt, så send det endelig videre.